You braved the cold weather to be here this evening. I know we probably have several that are joining us online right now because I know certain places it's very cold and icy and snowy. So if you had to stay in this evening and you made that choice, we know that it wasn't one you took lightly, but we're glad that you're here online to worship with us. But we also have several here in the building with us tonight too. So we're going to worship God in song, and if you'd like to join along, we'll start with 123 in the book, The Steadfast Love of the Lord.
The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases.
Before we go to God in prayer, we'll sing number 18, Faithful Love.
Rise each year, close my hand.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we are so thankful for this avenue of prayer that we have, that any time, any place, that there is nothing that stands between us being able to talk to you, our Father. And Lord, we know that when we talk to you, our Father, we're also talking to the Creator of the universe, you who hold all things in your hands, you who know each one of us, know our hearts, our fears and concerns, our thankfulness, all the things that we have in our hearts. Lord, we know that you know all these things. And Lord, we give our thanks to you. Thank you for loving us and for forgiving us and for adopting us into your family. And Lord, we pray for each of the concerns that each of us may have in our hearts, the things that we're worried about or fearful of or concerned of. Lord, during this time, we give all those to you. We ask that you bless each of us. Help us to bear one another's burdens. Help us to show the world that we are Christians by loving each other. And help us to take that love and share it with others, Lord, and to bring more people to know your Son, Jesus. Bless each one of us, Lord, and especially bless us as we all travel home tonight. Forgive our sins, and in your Son's name, amen.
Sing number 860, There Is a Habitation.
Thank you.
Before our scripture reading and Tim brings us the lesson this evening, let's all stand together and sing 853 when we all get to heaven.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare us a place. When we die, we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing!
I'll be reading scripture reading today from Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. If you want to go ahead and turn there or open your phone or tablets to Luke 18. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Luke 18, we'll be reading verses 1 through 8. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? And we do have Bible study time, so if anybody would like to go to that.
Bible story time. Yes. Thanks. For kids, and we are checking IDs tonight, so don't sneak out on us. Good evening. Good to see each of you with us this evening. A little better number than I thought it would be on a night like tonight, and you are to be commended. But I know a lot of you that didn't come out but are joining us online, you did the wise thing too, I'm confident. So we're just glad that we can be together and praise God, worship Him, study from His Word and grow our souls. That's the whole idea. And I hope you've had a good day today. It's been had a good service this morning, the Bible study and worship this morning, and hope that you've had a good day as well. We have visitors with us tonight, as we almost always do. You're very welcome to come at any time. We're happy to have visitors with us. One family here with us, and I'm not going to mention their names since I didn't ask permission. They're from Wetumpka, Alabama, and their daughter is here to look around for a place to stay. She's taken a job locally, and so if you have an idea on an apartment that would be good or a condo for rent, be sure to talk to them. Raise your hands back here. There you are. And be sure to let them know that you have an idea for them. And I know they would appreciate it. And if you're watching or listening, if you have an idea, please text me before we're through tonight, maybe, and we'll try to get that word to them. But let's see if we can help this sister find a place to stay. We want her to be here for a long time, so we'll be looking for a house for her parents as well. But we're glad you're with us tonight, and hope you have your Bible ready to get into it and study with us these wonderful things from God's Word. Now, if you came tonight expecting there to be a feast provided downstairs afterward, you will be disappointed. Author Elizabeth Gilbert wrote this: "You know the old adage, plant an expectation, reap a disappointment." I'd not heard that adage before. It's not old to me. But it makes a lot of sense, because if we expect something that is not going to happen, we're going to be disappointed. But the question is, was it reasonable to expect what we were expecting? Now, expectations are good sometimes. For example, we dressed the way that we did. I mean, I'm confident many of you dressed a little differently tonight than you did this morning or last week, because you expected the weather to be whatever it is. And the same is true with putting money in savings. We expect there to be times in the future when we will have needs that may be more than we have on hand, and so let's put aside a rainy day fund. Expectations can be very helpful. It's just they have to be based on reasonable expectations, reasonable premises. Prayer is a major part of our Christian faith, as you likely know. Through this means, we approach God with requests for one thing or another, with our praise for Him, with our sorrows, with our disappointments. Prayer is a wonderful thing. But what do we expect when we come to God in prayer? What do we expect? And again, the question is valid. Is it reasonable what we are expecting? Now, in the case of prayer, God has given us a lot of information. And so tonight, what we're going to be asking is, what can we expect when we pray? And we're going to go to God's Word to find the answers to that. There are several answers that we can find, and there'll be more than what I present in this lesson. But it'll be a beginning place. So let's start out with this general observation that prayer is an integral part of our faith. Prayer as an integral part of our faith. Now, what do we mean by integral? Well, Merriam-Webster defines that word as essential to completeness. Would you buy a house that did not have a roof? Probably not, because that's essential to a house. You want to live under a roof. Or in the same way, if you were to look for a car and the salesman says, "I've got a deal for you. I mean, this is a brand new car, just came from the factory. We're marking it down half price." And you're thinking, "Wow, what a deal. What's the catch?" Well, they forgot to put a brake system in this car. Would you buy that car even at half price? I hope not, because it's essential to completeness. Well, in the same way, prayer is essential. It is integral to our faith. The passage that was read to us a few moments ago, Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, didn't we hear that right at the very beginning? Where Luke tells us the reason for this parable, the parable of the persistent widow. He told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. there's reason to pray right there. Jesus said we ought to always be doing it. And the reason is so that we might not lose heart. We might not get discouraged and grow weary in our Christian life. Paul put it this way in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. And it must therefore be a very important part of our faith if Paul says we're to pray without ceasing. And if you look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, turn and look at that with me. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, there the writer doesn't use the word prayer or pray, but it's what it's all about. This is what prayer is. And when you envision it like this, wow, this is an honor to have this ability. Hebrews 4:16, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And so in prayer, what are we doing? We're drawing near to the throne of grace. That would be where the Father is seated with Jesus at his right hand. And we're seeking to find grace to help in time of need. That is the privilege that we are given in this thing called prayer. And from the beginning of the Bible to the very end, there is this understanding that God wants communication. I mean, he communicates to us through the word, and he wants us to communicate back to him by means of prayer. And what a gift it is. I mean, think about it. God could have given us smartphones, couldn't he? I mean, think about that. Here's a phone that God has supplied us, and just dial it, and we've got God on the other end of the line. But what if you misplace it? What if the battery runs down and you forgot to recharge it and you really need it right then? Or what if you're out of signal range? Prayer is much better than a smartphone. Prayer is with us wherever we go, anytime we go. It is a gift that God has given us, and we praise him for that. But if our expectations are askew, think about what happened in 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 11. 2 Kings 5 verse 11. We have there the account of this leper, Naaman. And Naaman, who was a very important man in the Syrian army, yet he had leprosy. It was something that had no known cure. It was called the living death. And so he was desperate. And a Jewish maiden that had been captured and turned into a slave said, I know somebody in Israel that can help. Send him to Elisha, the prophet. And so eventually, Naaman finds his way to Elisha. He's standing outside of the house. Word has been sent in to the prophet. And the prophet doesn't even come outside to speak to Naaman. And Naaman is infuriated. He says this in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 11. Naaman was angry and went away, saying, Behold, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. That was his expectation. And because that expectation did not happen, he thought, well, there's no use in me staying. I'm gone. And only because his servants begged him did he actually do what Elisha told him to do, and that was to go to the River Jordan and dip himself seven times, and the seventh time he would be cured of that leprosy. So again, you see, that can happen to us. If we have the wrong expectations of prayer, we might say, well, God doesn't care about me. Prayer doesn't work. Maybe we're just not realizing some of the fundamental truths that God has revealed about prayer. So with that in mind, let's talk now about 10 concepts. 10 concepts that God has revealed about using prayer. We're going to go through these fairly rapidly. You've got the scriptures, you can go back and meditate over them. But here are things that we need to understand as we're thinking about using prayer in approaching God. First of all, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12. 1 Peter 3 and verse 12. Here Peter is actually quoting from Isaiah chapter 34, and it is a passage that our Lord, or Psalm 34. But Peter says this, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So there's the first concept, and a very fundamental one that we need to keep in mind, and that is that prayer is a gift for those who are righteous. Now, we're righteous, of course, only through Jesus Christ. We don't have our own righteousness, but in him we are given that standing and we're given the gift of prayer. Now, if I'm not living in God's will, if I'm deliberately doing things that I know are wrong in the sight of God, should I think that God will hear my prayer? Well, I mean, God may hear it, but will God accept? Will God respond? And that's the point that he's making here. God has a special place in his heart for those who are righteous, who are giving it their best effort. And so let's begin with that understanding that prayer is a gift for those who are righteous. Go with me now to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Again, a very familiar passage to most of us. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. And after, as he begins talking about all these people of faith in this great chapter in Hebrews 11, he says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. And again, prayer is not mentioned by name, but isn't that a lot of what it means when it says those who seek him? We've got to have faith. We've got to believe that God is capable of doing whatever he chooses to do. Even though the doctors may say this is beyond hope, there is no chance now of getting through this, yet do we still go to God in faith that God can do it if it be his will? And you see, that's what James is saying here, or the Hebrew writer is saying rather, is that we've got to have faith in God, that there is a God, and that he will reward those who seek him. And I think this also means that, you know, it's not a desperation measure. It's not something that we go like a fire alarm and only pull when there's an emergency. This is something that we utilize on a regular basis. We have faith in God, and we know he wants to hear from his people. So prayer is a tool for those who have faith in God. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. 1 John 5 and verse 14. Here's another concept that God reveals to us about prayer. He said, this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything, anything, according to his will, he hears us. Now, a lot of people have the idea that if I ask anything, God will give it. They can't have that idea for very long, I think. But there are those that believe it. It's like finding a genie's lamp and rubbing it, and now you get three wishes. John says, if we ask according to his will, and then what? He hears us. Again, it's not a guarantee that we will get what we've asked for, but we know that God hears us. And that's a big promise in itself. So when I go into God in prayer, may I always keep in mind this may not be the Lord's will. I may think it is. I may think, well, there's no reason in the world why God would not want to do this for me. And yet God sees things differently than I do. And so my prayer must always be as Jesus' was in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, Lord, but yours be done. Concept number four, Genesis chapter 18 and verse 25. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 25. Here we find God talking with Abraham. At first, Abraham didn't realize this is the Lord. There were three strangers that came along, and Abraham invited them to stop and rest, and he would prepare a meal for them. And then God told the other two, the angels, shall I tell Abraham what we're here for? And he said, we're here to investigate the cries that have been coming up about Sodom and Gomorrah. And he said, if I find that it's true, they're going to be destroyed. And then Abraham begins interceding because his nephew Lot lived in Sodom. And he said, Lord, you wouldn't destroy this if there were 50 righteous people to be found in the city. And the Lord said, no. And maybe Abraham was thinking, I've heard a lot of bad things. Maybe there's not that many. And he began bringing that number down until it reached 10. And God said, no, I won't destroy it if there are 10 righteous people to be found. But Abraham said this in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 25, far be it from you to do such a thing, to put the righteous to death with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just? And that simply means that I know whatever God does, it will be just. it will be right. And sometimes that's hard for us to swallow. Sometimes what the Lord's will is may seem to be unfair or unjust. But again, God sees things differently. And Abraham, even though it was hard for him to imagine entire cities being wiped off the face of the earth, he said, Lord, I know you. You will do what is just. And that tempered his prayers. That helped him to have proper expectations in what he was asking the Lord. Number 5, in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 23. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 23. Daniel had had a vision, and it troubled him greatly. And he prayed to God. He wanted to understand what the vision meant. And in verse 23, there is this remarkable response to that prayer that Daniel offered. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 23, this is the words of Gabriel, an angel sent from God. At the beginning of your pleas for mercy, a word went out, and I have come to tell it to you, for you are greatly loved. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision. So here in this case, what happened when Daniel prayed to God? He was a man that was righteous. He was greatly loved by God. Well, from the moment he began his prayer, this angel says, a word went out, and I was sent to tell you the answer to what you're looking for. Now, is this typical? That's the question. And the Bible doesn't say that heavenly envoys are dispatched all the time in response to our prayers. Maybe, maybe not. We do find in Hebrews chapter 1, I believe it's in verse 14, I could be wrong about that, but we're told that angels are servants to those who will inherit salvation. And that would be us who are living for the Lord. So angels are involved in helping us at various times. Could this mean that sometimes even angels are dispatched to help us in whatever it may be that we're going through? And again, it's hard to say, but in this case, that's what happened. And it may happen more than we realize. Now we turn our attention to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27, and we'll also look at verse 34. And here is a passage we all cling to when it comes to prayer, because we need this. We need to know this. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Have there ever been times you thought, I just don't know what to say? I have this hurt in my soul. I have this deep burden. I don't know how to word it. This passage says the Spirit is helping you in that. The Spirit is taking your hurt, your pain, and transmitting it to God, and God searches his heart. And twice there, did you notice, it says the Spirit intercedes for us. While we are praying, the Spirit intercedes for us. And that's not all. If you turn and look at verse 34 of the same chapter, Romans chapter 8 and verse 34, who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is to the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who indeed is interceding for us. So not only is the Spirit interceding for us in our prayers, Jesus intercedes for us. Does that help us? Does that encourage us to use prayer more often? It should, because it says, the success of my prayers does not depend on my ability to phrase things properly or to use the right words. It's a lot of it is aided by heavenly help. So we have heavenly help as we pray. That's what that says. And then another passage to consider as we think about concepts to give us proper expectations about prayer is Luke chapter 18 and verse 13. Luke chapter 18 and verse 13. This is in the midst of a parable that Jesus told about a Pharisee and a publican, a tax collector. And the Pharisee was very ornate in his wording, you know, very boastful, very loud, so everybody could hear his wonderful prayer. And then on the other hand, there is this humble, tax collector. Luke 18 and verse 13, he says, "The tax collector, standing afar off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' And which one went to his house justified?" Jesus said, "The tax collector." What does that say? It says that humility means a lot to God. So when I approach God, it's not like, "Lord, you're very lucky to have me on your side. It's a good thing that I'm working on your side, Lord." No, we're to be more like the tax collector who says, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I depend on you. I need you every moment, every day." And that will, of course, affect the way that we go to God in prayer. The next one is in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 and 9. We talk about this passage fairly often. Paul had been to the third heaven, he tells us earlier in the chapter, and he said, "I saw things which are not lawful for a man to see, and then, to keep me from boasting, a thorn in the flesh was given to me," he says, and I prayed about that. And listen to what he says now in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 8 and 9. "Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me." It was a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what it was, but it was painful. "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me.'" So what does that mean about prayer? It tells me that God looks more to eternal benefits than to temporal. I may say, "Lord, I could be a much more effective servant if you would lift this illness from me, if you would remove this impediment to me. I could just do so much more for you, Lord." And yet the Lord sees a lot of things differently than we do. And he says, my grace is made perfect in weakness. And so that's what we've got to keep in mind as well. To us, it looks like this is the answer. God's got to do this. God's looking at the bigger picture, the more important picture, the one that is more significant for us, though we may not realize it. God is much more concerned with eternal benefits than temporal. Number 9, look at Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7. This, of course, is a heart-wrenching statement, but one that we need to hear. "In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death." And we know what that's talking about. That was in the Garden of Gethsemane. One of the gospel writers said he had sweat like drops of blood. He was so in agony over what was approaching. And he said, "Lord, let this cup pass from me if it be possible." And so he offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears. He knew that God was able to save him from death. But I guess God didn't hear that prayer, right? No, it says he was heard because of his reverence. He was heard. And Jesus did say in that prayer, "Let your will be done, Father, not mine." He had that expectation we've already mentioned. And so that again has to be what we look at. And more so, looking at things after we've prayed and we didn't get what we asked for. Not receiving what we pray for does not mean that God does not love us. Did God love his son Jesus? Of course he did, immensely, more than we can ever imagine. But the answer was no. "I can't save you from death if the plan of salvation is to be carried out." And so again, that has to be our understanding, that even if God doesn't give me what I'm asking for, even though I believe I've got to have it, God's got to give it to me, and it doesn't happen, he still loves me. I walk by faith and not by sight. And then finally, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Ephesians 3 and verse 20. This has become one of my favorite passages in all of the Bible in the last few years, where Paul says this. This is part of a prayer that he's offering for the Ephesian brethren. "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. God is able to do a lot more than we imagine. We often say that the age of miracles is over, and in a sense, that's right. God does not bestow the power to humans to do miraculous things like he did in the early days of the church and at other periods in the Bible. But does that mean that God's power is limited? That even though the doctor says there's no cure, there's no hope for this, that there's no need to pray to God, that it might be reversed, that it might be turned around? No. I think we pray. And we believe that if it is God's will, if this be the will of God, he can overcome what people think is impossible. And so we ask for things that look very unlikely, and we say, Lord, I know this is asking a lot, but could you do this? Would you do this? And who knows? It just may be the will of God to do unexpectedly powerful things in response to our prayers. Those are 10 concepts that the Lord has revealed to us in his word. And again, I know there are many others than that. I would suggest that maybe you look for others as well. Charles Spurgeon, I like to look at things he wrote. I don't agree with everything he said or taught. He lived about 100 years ago, but his thoughts are often worth meditating on. He said this about prayer. True prayer is neither a mere mental exercise nor a vocal performance. It is far deeper than that. It is spiritual transaction with the creator of heaven and earth. You're telling me that I can have some transaction with the creator of heaven and earth? That's what the Bible says. It's not me. I mean, I'm telling you, yes. But the Bible says you're invited to speak to the creator. And not just once in your life, not just on certain occasions, not just when he says, okay, this is the day, come on. Anytime. As often as we wish. That is the gift that we are given by God. But again, let's do it with the right understanding. Let's understand all we can about prayer and base our prayers on what God has revealed. Tonight, if you're not yet a Christian, I think you see that prayer is not your gift yet, but it can be. God wants it to be. And tonight, if you would simply come and obey the gospel. You've heard the gospel. You've heard about Jesus. Do you believe that he is the Son of God, the Christ? Are you willing to turn away from your sins, repenting of them? Will you confess him before this group tonight and continually throughout your life? And tonight, would you put him on in the act of baptism, which will remove all of your sins? That's not much to ask for all of the blessings you'll receive, and it's what God asks. We'd love to help you with that. And if you've done those things and yet sin has caught you again and you're in its grasp, God can release you. God can forgive you if you'll repent of those sins and ask for forgiveness. If you need to pray, then come. Let's pray together. Whatever your need, come as we stand and sing. Stephanie has come forward this evening asking for our prayers. We talked this morning a little bit about the situation, and without going into details, which we don't need to hear, she was on a path that could have led her back into sin. I don't think she ever actually got back into sin, but she was on that path. And she realized that and realized, I've got to make changes in my life. And so she has. She's made changes. And she knows that Satan is powerful. Satan can lure us into sin in many different ways. And even though we've found an answer to this approach that he's made to us before, here's another one that we weren't prepared for. And so Stephanie wants to be strong, to have the strength to follow through on her decision, to avoid sin. And what a wonderful, wonderful request this is. I've told you before how she has just come roaring back. She came back to the church about 3 years ago, I guess now, and 2 years ago, all right. And she has just been on fire. And she refreshes me like I know she does you. And so we're going to be glad to pray for her. I also want us to pray for Dennis Russell again, who's going to be undergoing surgery Tuesday. Also for Gail Sides. She'll be in Houston tomorrow for more scans for the cancer that they're trying to help her overcome. Carrie Van Tine is at the medical center. I want us to keep him in our prayers as well. So let's go to God on behalf of all of these. Our God and our Father in heaven, how wonderful you are. Great and magnificent, powerful and wise, and yet our Father. You love us, Lord, and that amazes us. But we thank you for that love. We thank you for Jesus, our Savior, the Son of your love, whom you sent to be our atonement. And Father, we pray that we'll always be found in him. Satan tries often to get us off the path, and several times he has succeeded. Lord, help us to always realize when we're coming close to the edge of the path. Help us to turn to you in prayer. Help us to turn to one another as brothers and sisters, to confess our faults and to ask for prayers from them. Father, thank you for Stephanie, for her example, for her willingness, her desire to ask for all of us to join her in praying for strength, that she might not ever be pulled off the path. And we do pray for that, Lord. Continue to bless her. She's been such a blessing to so many people since she has returned to your kingdom. Father, we also want to pray for Dennis, our elder, our shepherd, who will undergo surgery on Tuesday. We pray, Lord, that you'll bless the surgeon with wisdom and skill. Let everything go well. May relief be gained. May his body be strong. May he recover quickly. Watch over him and Linda tomorrow as they travel. Keep them safe, Father. We pray also for Gail as she returns to Houston for more scans and consultations. Please, Lord, bless our sister. May this turn out for good. May the news all be good and not fearful as could happen. But Lord, be with her and show your power in her body that this cancer may be taken away. And likewise for Carrie, our brother, we pray, Lord, that you'll give his body strength, that you will show your power more than medicine's power, that you'll help him to come through this and to rally and to have an amazing recovery. We know you're able, Father. We pray that you will. But in all these situations, Father, let your will be done. We know your will is always best because we know, Lord, you are great and wonderful. Bless us, be with all who are here. Be with us, Father. We pray in Jesus' blessed name. Amen.
If you did not have the opportunity to take the Lord's Supper this morning, we will be doing that in just a moment. If you need the implements for the Lord's Supper, if you'll raise your hand, someone can bring those to you right now. here in front, Dan. And to prepare our minds for this, we'll sing A Common Love. We'll sing it through one time.
A Common Love.
In Romans, the fifth chapter, Paul is writing about faith, hope, endurance, character, about God's love being poured out to us. Verse 6, he says, while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. That'd be us. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would even dare to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Lord's Supper is to memorialize and help us to remember what he did for us, that while we were still in sin, he died for us. Maybe for a good person one would dare to die, but God shows his love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let's give thanks for the bread. Our God in heaven, thank you so much for forgiving Christ. Thank you for giving him so that we can be reconciled to you. We remember his body as he died on the cross, and how he suffered. And we ask that you'll help us to remember it in a way that's right in your sight. And it's Christ, through Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's give thanks for the cup. Our God in heaven, we thank you for giving Christ, giving his blood. And many times blood is a symbol of death. And but because of what you gave, what he gave, it is to us a symbol of life. And you have turned the cross from a symbol of shame to a symbol of glory. And we thank you. And for those who are taking of this cup, we ask that you will bless them and guide them to take it in a way that's that honors his sacrifice. And it's through Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's give thanks for the things that God has given us, physical things. Often we think of it as money, which is our medium of exchange to get stuff. And what we dedicate to God's work, and let's give thanks for all of this. Our God in heaven, you've given us so much. You've given us all that we have and the abilities to make a living and to have a place to live and food and all these good things. We ask that you'll help us to remember it, that it all comes from you. And that we owe you everything. It's through Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Before we close tonight in prayer, we're going to sing a closing song. It's not in the book. I think several of us know it. If you don't know it, it's easy to pick up. This is a beautiful prayer, this song. I know... a lot of the announcements, we have several members who are facing medical battles right now. We have some that, we had Stephanie that came forward this evening. We had three that came forward this morning facing some very present struggles in their life. And we're a family. And when one of us hurts, when one of us struggles, we all struggle and we all feel that pain. And this is a song that's begging God for his presence, for his protection to surround us. So if you don't mind, let's all stand. Let's all sing this song if you know it. If you don't, it kind of comes back around, so you'll know it on the second round. Let's sing this before we go to God in prayer.
As the mountains surround Lord.
the left northeast correctional about 3:40 today. I wondered if Marshall and I'd make it back. Glad Marshall was driving his truck because there's plenty of snow. And got down to Hampton and my car completely covered with snow. And I wondered at that time that we'd have services here tonight. By the time I got to Elizabeth, there was no snow, fortunately. But certainly we do see the beauty of the snow, but I'm glad it was there rather than here. Let's bow. Father, be grateful that we have this time to come and assemble. Grateful, Father, for Tim and his ability to proclaim your will. Grateful that for those that are present to worship thee and certainly enjoy the fellowship of being with one another. Father, would ask that you would certainly be with Tim Haywood, Josh, and Hugo, and others that are involved in the work here. Greg, grateful for the work they do. Grateful for our elders, and our deacons, other teachers, and grateful for, again, just the educational program we have. Again, grateful, Father, for the work that has been done in the community and from the newsletter that came out this morning, and certainly work that probably needs to be done. Father, we're grateful for Stephanie coming forward today and be with her in her life. We realize there's certainly many that are mentioned from day to day, daily focus, as well as our bulletin as far as those that are dealing with health issues, some dealing bereavement. Certainly ask that you would be with Kerry and that he will get through his present time in the hospital and be able to get back to Fort Lauderdale for the further injections or procedures that will be done with him, and certainly hope this will result in his recovery in time. Father, be with Gail and Steve, and certainly pray that in her or Steve's announcement sometime back that they hope for a better outcome from the test that she is to take. Certainly be with Dennis and his surgery. Realize there's certainly many others that are dealing with health issues from time to time. Bless us, be with us as we separate this time in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't have any announcements.